Good day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and I am your host for CIDI's Daily News Show, and you are tuning in to Township's Daily News Bits. After almost 2 years of trying to get a development project off the ground behind St. Paul's Anglican Church in Knowlton, Reed Busada, promoter and developer of the project, and his team presented a new plan for the project on Monday. Over the years, St. Paul's Anglican Church has been looking at its assets to see what the congregation can do to ensure a financially viable future for the church in order to continue serving the community, taking into consideration the number of churches closing down across the province. It looked into several projects that it could develop on its piece of land to generate income, including affordable housing. The idea to build something on the land came up in a friendly conversation between Skip Eamon, treasurer for St. Paul's Board of Management, and Reed, whom expressed interest in supporting the church in its endeavor. A sales and purchase agreement was signed between St. Paul's and Busada to purchase the land at $1 million. The original proposal that Busada and his team of architects came up with was an 18 to 20 unit condominium reserved for local residents looking to downsize so that they can continue to stay in their community. With concerns from citizens about its size and environmental impact, the project was eventually scaled down to 12 to 15 condos. Busada was asked by the town of Broome Lake to demonstrate support for the project by garnering a certain number of signatures from local citizens in order to rezone the land from institutional to residential. He did not garner enough signatures, and the municipality sent him back to the drawing board. Finally coming up with a new plan, Busada hopes that it better meets the needs and expectations of the community. CIDI was invited to the information session held at St. Paul's Anglican Church on Monday night, where we got a few comments from Busada about the new plan, Minister of St. Paul's Anglican Church Tim Weeb, and a few citizens who expressed their concerns about the project. We hope that you enjoy.
Before we begin, Reed, I was wondering if you could just identify yourself for our listeners and your role in this project exactly.
So, Reed Busada, I'm the developer with my partner Jean-Christophe Sauvé. We have a company called Imcor. We're the ones showing the new project and to develop it and sell the units that were proposed today.
But what is new or different from the original plan? There was some concerns expressed by citizens, and you kind of tried to adapt the plan around that. So I was wondering if you could just highlight some of the new things about the plan that would be important for the community to be aware of exactly.
So, great question. I think there was four or five major concerns. I'm not sure if I'll remember all of them right now at the moment, but one was the total size, right? We were like 18 to 20 condos, and now we're 6 townhouses. So we've massively reduced the size of the building. The other thing was that we had 4 stories on the floor, out of ground, we had 4 stories, and now we only have 2. So we've shrunk the size of the building. We've made 3 separate buildings and each building has 2 units in it. So they're actually separate, only joined by a little corridor, and which makes a difference, right? Like you don't have a wall that you're looking at. You're looking at more of a home effect. They look more like houses than townhouses. And the last one was people were concerned a lot about the traffic. But obviously with 6 townhouses, it's not going to have anything to do with the traffic. And we're not changing the entrance. Originally, we had the entrance coming out onto St. Paul's. We're not doing that anymore. It's actually going to come out onto facing Victoria, the same driveway that exists right now for the church.
And from my understanding, there was also this environmental concern as well, because it's near a pond and a wetland. But from my understanding, you're not cutting as many trees, and you're respecting the distance for the wetland.
Good point. That's a very important one. Thank you. So we're building up basically onto the driveway. So we're barely cutting any trees. Where you can see on the map, the original project, we were much further down the hill. Now we're right up on the hill. So it's a huge difference environmentally. We're no closer than the parking lot is now to the pond. So we're nowhere near the wetlands.
And you're also donating, from my understanding, a part of the land to the conservation group here in the area as well.
The exact square footage hasn't been determined yet, but I think it's, if I remember, it was around 80,000 square feet, so just under 2 acres, or it could have been closer to 88,000, so don't quote me on this, but it's around 2 acres that we were donating to the Wetlands Foundation that'll be touching the water down below. Kind of protect that area, also give the possibilities if the town ever were to do a walking path that went around the pond. I'm not sure. We'll leave that up to them, because we're going to be donating that piece of property.
And I was wondering if you could just chat maybe more about the homes themselves. What changed about them to kind of fit in more with the village? I know that you're trying to go about having it fit into the landscape here and the values of the village.
So we had a more of a contemporary, a bit more of a modern look to the project, you know, and why we went that way originally. We were influenced from, you know, our architect, a bit of the design, talking with the town. We decided to go a bit more contemporary. We've dialed that back, changed to really fit in more with the community style. So you can see from the design, and it'll be up on our website as of Wednesday, so you'll be able to go onto that and see, but the type of the building is no different than if you were driving down St. Paul's and you saw another type of house, or on Victoria or on Lakeside. All very similar styles to really fit into Knowlton.
Okay, great. And you know, there was a really good question asked here today, and that was, why a housing development and not an affordable housing or low income housing development? A lot of people were questioning that because, you know, there is a lack thereof, and there are tons of development projects going on in the town right now, but none of them are affordable. So I was wondering if you could just, you know, respond to that for our listeners as well.
That was a great question, actually, when it is. And I know it's a huge, huge concern right across Canada, as I said when I answered the question. I think this property isn't set for that. I think we'd get a heck of a lot more resistance if I came in with an affordable housing project on this piece of property than the project that we're presenting. But we do recognize the fact that there's a huge demand. It's just not the right piece of property for that. But I think the town, and not just the town of Knowlton, but every town, has a top of agenda, because obviously inflation's gone up so much, housing has become unaffordable, and it's a huge priority for our provincial government and federal government to figure this out.
I was wondering, there was also something else that someone brought up today, and that was the fact that will this serve as like the beginning of the snowball, you know, rolling and opening up this land for more development after? But you explained today that there's a certain process to this development that wouldn't allow any other development to take place. I was wondering if you could just inform our community about that exactly and about that process for the project.
So the process is quite strenuous. You know, I had no idea about this process. You know, I didn't understand all the ins and outs and how complicated it was. And I guess when you're living in a town and something's happening next door, your voice matters, you know. And the fact that we're having a zoning change, it changes everything, right? We have to do something that's going to be acceptable for the community, the people inside that zone, if you will, or those zones, which makes total sense. So one of the concerns was, is this going to be a snowball effect? It can't really be a snowball effect. I mean, it's project by project. If there's a zoning change, if there is no zoning change, then it's a bit different, right? Then it falls on the town and their responsibility to make sure that they approve a project that fits into our town. But if there is a zoning change, everybody has a voice. And if the developer wants to listen, then you listen and you modify the plans to try to fit in the best you can. And today's meeting was exactly that, right? We're just informing people. We want people's feedback. We want to know, okay, do you like it? What don't you like about it? Too many windows, not enough windows, the entrance to the underground parking, all those things we want to hear about. That's why we're doing this meeting, and we're going to be doing other ones. I believe our next step is going to be smaller meetings. We're going to bring in smaller meetings where we're going to have people to have smaller groups that we're going to be meeting and talking about.
Okay, because you're going through like a papier-moi, which I never heard of that until today. I wasn't sure if you could maybe explain that a little bit and how that works.
I know the broad lines on this, and basically papier-moi is a zoning change. So you have to present a project, and you're asking to change the zoning on that piece of property to do this project. And it's specific to that project. So you can't apply for, from my understanding, you can't apply to a PPCM1 for 6 units and then decide I'm going to do 10 units on the property. It doesn't work that way. When you deposit with a PPCM1, you have to deposit everything from the color of the windows to the type of material you're using on the outside of the building to the roofing to all the exterior look of the building. When you deposit, the size of the units, the exact dimensions of the building, all that has to be set in stone when you deposit it. And if you make any changes to that, you have to go back to the beginning of the PPCM1 and start the whole process over. So you want to make sure you do it all right. So I don't see any chance of anybody ever doing an application for a PPCM1. I mean, I would never go through this process again. If we made it through, I wouldn't say, oh, let's add an extra unit and start the whole process over. It's been long, right? I mean, we've been at it for a few years now.
Yeah, so the only way anyone else could come in here and develop is if they propose a project here and then the zoning gets passed, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I say that, but there's the other option, right, where you look all the way around the province and all these little towns, these churches are being abandoned. Either the town's taking them over or they're being auctioned off. And once they get auctioned off, the town's a lot more motivated to then, you know, figure out some way of developing that piece of property, because now they're saying this is a sore thumb that we have in the middle of the town and we have to take care of this piece of property and it's a cost for us. So now what? It's a reality. I mean, we know this. I mean, there's numbers out there on how many churches are going to be closing across the country over the coming years. I mean, the reason why I got involved in this project at the beginning was Reverend Weep and Mr. Eamon talking to me about the project and trying to keep the church going, you know, so, and all the, how involved they are in the community. So we've been offered, as I mentioned during the presentation, on different pieces of property. We're not going to do this project anywhere else. We're doing it here, and if we don't do it here, we won't do it in town.
Okay, and now what are the next steps now that this presentation has been done today? From my understanding, there's going to be other meetings as well moving forward.
We're gonna do smaller meetings to try to get feedback with people, bring groups in. I think there was, you know, about 60 people here tonight, and 8 people asked questions. There was only 8 people that actually got up, some of them a couple times, and asked questions. So I think there's groups of people out there that would like to ask questions and have more answers and maybe didn't feel comfortable or didn't get the mic time. So we're going to try to organize little meetings with them so we can get their feedback and talk to them a bit more about the project and see if there's any little things that we can work on with them.
Perfect. Well, those are all the questions that I had for you, Reed, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to mention in terms of addressing citizens' concerns or whatnot before we sign off.
No, I think, listen, I think the only way is for us to keep doing this, keep showing the project, keep talking about it, trying to modify it, and we're here, we want to listen to people within reason, right? We went from 20 units, and everybody said if you did 12 units, that would be amazing, and we can make it work. We've got to 12 units, and now it's like, oh, that was too much, so we're 6 units, we can't really do one unit, obviously, but this idea of 6 units seems to work. Now is everything else perfect? Maybe not. We'll get some sort of feedback and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Reed.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, Tim, we are here today to talk a little bit more about St. Paul's potential development project here. You know, this is a project that developers here, Mr. Reed Busada, to get up off the ground here for a while.
I think one of the things that needs to kind of be clear is we're somewhat separated. We as the church are somewhat separated. In 2020, we signed a purchase and sale agreement with Mr. Busada. And as someone on our board said, you know, our only work right now is to stand on the front and accept the check when and if the zoning changes. Mm-hmm. So we're not really a part of this process. We hosted this just because we have the equipment and you know, we're certainly interested parties. But the project itself is completely outside of our scope. So it's not our baby.
Yes, you basically proposed a project of some sorts, from my understanding, right?
It's a little bit complicated. We as the church never approached the town at all. Okay. We approached Mr. Busada because Mr. Eamon, Skip Eamon, is a friend of Reed's, and he just sort of put it out there just one day. And Reed said, that sounds like a fabulous idea. And that's kind of where we went. So, you know, we signed off on the contract. The bishop signed off on the contract, and really we haven't had too much more to do with it.
But what was the goal in thinking about these types of projects on your part? What was the goal in all of this exactly?
Well, initially, as I mentioned at the meeting, the church sold the rectory, which is the house next door, to my wife and I. That was a way of converting an asset and potentially, I don't know all the terms, but a debit. There was a fair amount of work that needed to be done, and that would have cost the church money. So we instead bought the house. And so we turned an asset of the church. We took that and you know, earned some money from that. So that the money from the house pays part of my housing allowance. So it belongs to them. That money, though, belongs to St. Paul's. So we thought, well, what about the rest of the property? Could we turn that underutilized asset into revenue? And we thought about several things at the time. You know, we met as a church body and we talked about things like affordable housing. We talked about green space. We talked about, I'm trying to think, I think there were three things we talked about. I think rental units. We mulled over a few things. We spoke with a fella who is a developer in Montreal, who's a local, and he sort of got us thinking about many different things. But the difficulty with affordable housing, for example, behind the church is that there's a height restriction, and the amount of actual land that's buildable is very small compared to the large thing. There's a back set or there's you have to stay so far from the water line, and so most of the property, it's 4 acres, is not really, you can't build on it. So you can't, like, nobody could make any money. Nobody would want, a developer wouldn't want to pursue that project. And we didn't want to be landlords. We didn't want that responsibility. Green space, you know, a lot of it is just not buildable, so that wasn't ever going to be an issue. That was always going to stay green space. And so the, just really quite by accident, a conversation with Reed and with Skip happened, and we were able to move ahead with that. That was a signed agreement. Again, I have to say to people, because we really want to distance ourselves, in 2020, we as a church made the decision, all land in the diocese that's owned by the church is actually sort of owned by the bishop. So she had to sign off, and she signed off. That's kind of where we are.
Yeah, the project is now in the developer's hands. It was just something that the church proposed just to maybe help support the church for future generations.
I think that's right. Yeah, it was the development wasn't really our idea. It was just selling the land. That was our only real thought.
And I was wondering if you could maybe highlight the need to sell that land, and you know why the church felt the need to do so. Essentially,
I guess in one sense, it's a fairly simple thing. As I said, there was an underutilized asset that we wanted to turn into revenue, as anybody would. I mean, that's just a business decision. We're an active church. We do a lot of things. We have struggles just like every church. Finances are one of them. And so this was a way to address that need. You know, I think what one of the things I believe in is that your vision should always be greater than your resources. So we have great vision, we have great ideas, but it's always kind of a little bit more than our resources. And so, and the other thing that I should say too is one of the things about, we have several investments. So people, Mr. Foster and Marler Bancroft are people of historic names in this area. And so Hiram Sewell Foster donated $1,000 probably 100 years ago. And that was probably a whole lot of money. Like, that would probably have done a big thing. And Marler Bancroft donated $5,000. And that money, the interest of which was to go to the minister. But $5,000 100 years ago, it doesn't quite work. Now, it doesn't work in the same way. And so we need to be thinking ahead. We need to be thinking ahead to the future.
Yeah, in order for you to thrive and to continue being a part of the community, essentially.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to mention, Tim, in terms of this project, perhaps in terms of how you think it will benefit not only the church, but the community as well. I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to bring up.
I do think it's important to mention what Reed said about the families who've been coming here for years. I mean, you know, this was a place for families to come, and they had lives here. They came in the summer, and they used to come in the winter to go skiing on Glen Mountain. And you know, I was talking with a family whose father just died. And he was in London. The father was in London. And they said, you know, wherever we go, Knowlton is always home. There are a lot of people who don't live here that consider Knowlton home. And through, I don't know, no fault of their own, that's probably not the way to do it. They have means. And and they would, you know, benefit from a place like this, you know, a project like this. I think that it would be sad to see some of those families and people have to move somewhere else.
Yeah, so it's about also providing housing here for the community so that they don't have to leave. They can stay where in their community.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, that's what we're thinking for low-income housing. It sounds odd, but it's true for high-income people as well. You know, we're not very sympathetic, I think, sometimes about that. But, you know, I just always say, Knowlton is just one of the best places I know. And why wouldn't, you know, you want to spend your final years in such a beautiful place?
Well, thank you so much, Tim, for chatting with me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Taylor.
One local citizen that lives on St. Paul Street, Michel Goulet, expressed his concerns to CIDI at the meeting.
Different project, but I don't think it's going to get social acceptance. Very, very modern in an area that's not very modern. I think basically the citizens just don't want it.
Would you be able to highlight some of the reasons behind this and in terms of why you don't want this type of project exactly?
I don't think it's going to add anything to the area specifically. And they didn't put a price on the projects. But if you look at construction costs in high end, it's probably almost $1,000 a square feet times 3,000 plus the price of the land. And, you know, they're talking about citizens that have lived in Knowlton that want to downsize. Who's downsizing to 3,000 square feet?
People were bringing that up, that, you know, in a time where development is picking up here in the town, like, why not an affordable housing project or a low-income housing project that will attract people here and keep people here?
There's no low-cost housing, because if you want to build a property, even a 4.5, even in the area, it's going to be at least 300,000. And at 300,000, when you've paid the mortgage payment, your taxes and your insurance, it's like $2,500 a month. That's not low-cost housing.
And that was a major concern on a part of a lot of people here today, was who's going to be able to afford these places if they are developed.
Good question.
And there was also an environmental concern as well, sir, that I didn't know if you wanted to highlight as well.
Well, I don't think they're cutting down too many trees, so I don't think that's a big thing. There's less units, but I still don't think it's going to go through.
It just doesn't fit the landscape here of the area, essentially.
No.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. I really appreciate your comment.
My pleasure.
One citizen was concerned about the lack of transparency and the environmental impact of the project.
Sir, I was just wondering if you could please start off by just identifying ourselves for our listeners before we get into the conversation a little bit more.
Okay, my name is Jacques Beauchamp. I live in Knowlton or Lac Bron on Hillside.
Perfect. And we are here today to talk about the potential development project behind St. Paul's Church. And I just wanted to get some comments from citizens on their perspective on the project. And you expressed some grave concerns here today at the meeting. And I was just wondering if you would highlight these for our community and what you're most concerned about for this new plan.
It's not about the new plan, because when they first presented the plan 2 years ago, we fought and we tried to get information about this project. And neither the church, near Mr. Boussada, wanted to give us information. We understand that by whatever accident it happens in the picture, and it says he's going to buy this and build condos. So my concern is not necessarily, I don't know why we had this meeting tonight, to see if the roof will be black or white or whatever. The question is not there. The question is that what do we do with a piece of land sitting in the middle of Knowlton that we need to preserve for future generation, and demolishing a part of this vegetal cover will not help us. What he wants to build is for the very rich people. We don't need that here in Knowlton. It's not the very rich people can go anywhere they want. They can build, if they think they have two big houses, they can sell them for $3 million and buy one at 1.5 million if they want to. But I think we have to keep this piece of land next to the pound for public usage. Now, or in 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. Because in 10 years from now, we will regret that we have permitted to have so many houses there and destroy the forest that is there.
Yeah, that was a really big concern, the development that's taking place in the town, not only behind the potential St. Paul's Church, but everywhere throughout the village, there's different buildings going up here and there, and that was a really big concern. So basically, your concern here is that you just don't want, it's not the project itself, you just want to preserve the land as yes. is.
Yes, because there's nothing, there's no really a big green space in Knowlton. And I don't understand why, and frankly, I think there's two people are responsible for this. The church, why will the church that received this as by donation 100 years ago, once turned back today, trying to convince people, I hate to be taken for a ride, that they don't have money and they will not be able to repair the church. Give us the real reason, and maybe after that we could consider. But this is just trying to make people feel good that they are helping the church. They're not helping the church.
So just lack of transparency is... Yes.
That's a big concern. We wrote to the church in Montreal. They don't want to get involved. They refuse to give us information. We try here to ask information. They don't want to give us information. They don't want to give it to us. They just want to make a transaction. And even tonight, Mr. Boussada refused to... Why should I believe him that he has an offer, a solid offer to purchase for $1 million? He's ready to sell us for $1 million, but maybe he just paid $200,000. We don't know.
Yeah, so you just want more transparency on the project. Yes.
On the part of the church, Monsieur Boussada is the buyer.
So. Mm-hmm.
But the church could be more transparent, but they don't want to be more transparent.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for highlighting your concerns. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.